ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते Today, we are going to discuss the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled as Divinity and Divine Service. How many of you remember the first chapter? What we discussed about the first chapter yesterday? Okay. What about others? How many of you did not understand what we discussed yesterday for the first time? So, how many of you are not understanding what I am speaking about? Anyway, so the first chapter, the beginning chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing how Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the entire Vedas. It is the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. He is the cause of creation, destruction, maintenance. He is the supreme independent personality of Godhead, completely independent Swaraj. And when one gets to understand him, his threefold miseries are completely uprooted. And then it describes how Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. And this ripened fruit of that desire tree has been mixed with the nectar from the lotus lips of Srimad Sukadeva Goswami. And then Srimad Bhagavatam begins like how, what's the background of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages in Naimisharanya, 60,000 sages assembled in Naimisharanya, and there they were performing a 1,000-year-long sacrifice. And one morning, after offering the sacrificial offering, they sat together and they requested Sukadeva Goswami to describe, to tell them about the ultimate benefit, what will cause the ultimate benefit of their life. Tau ekada tu munaya pratar bhutabhutagnaya satkritam sutamasinam pakruchvidam adarat. They asked him very respectfully, Sukadeva Goswami, offering him the exalted seat. They said, Taya Khalu Puranani Seti Hasani Jank Akhatana Patitani Dharma Shastrani Janata. You have mastered all the scriptures, Puran, Itihash, Dharma Shastra, the entire Vedas you have mastered. Therefore, you are in a position to tell us what is the ultimate benefit for us, for all mankind, for entire mankind in this very degraded age of Kali Yuga. In the age of Kali, people are very unfortunate. Their lifespan is very short. Prayan alpayusa shabhya kalavashmi yugeja. In the age of Kali, the duration of life, ayuna, is very short. Prayana alpa ayusa sabhya kalavashmin yugejana in the age of Kali. And on top of that, manda sumanda matayo. They are very lazy, manda. They are sumanda matayo. Their mentality is very degrading. And manda bhagya, they are very unfortunate also. And upadruta, they are constantly troubled by different types of material calamities. Now on the other hand, bhurini, bhuri karmani, shrotavani, vibhavasha. On the other hand, the Vedas are vast, bhurini. And bhuri karmani, in the Vedas, various types of activities have been prescribed. And unless and until one understands that, the totality of the Vedas, one won't be able to understand what is the purpose of the Vedas, what is the teaching of the Vedas. So in a situation like that, now we the Vaishnavas have assembled here in this holy land, so please instruct. And so then this chapter, chapter 2, is describing what happened after that. Yeah, okay. And then one point I missed from the previous chapter, they also describe that actually the ultimate solution is the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes. His name, Aparna Samshritim Ghora, Jannam Divashatyam. Why are you so late in class? Huh? Don't take these classes so lightly. Okay? Come to the class on time. They cannot be there. What is the excuse? And the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that even if one chants the holy name unconsciously, Jannamo Vivashakrima, Tato Saddo Vimucheta, immediately he becomes free from all his material entanglements. And the lotus feet of the Lord is so wonderful that when one takes shelter of that lotus feet of the Lord, then he can at once become purified. Whereas the water of the Ganges purifies one after prolonged use. जब पाद संस्कार सूत्र मुनय प्रशमान शब्द पुनत् उपस्पृष्टा सर्वनाथ से and who will not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to become delivered from the vices of the age of Kali, age of Kora. And in this way, Shaunaka Rishi, on behalf of all the saintly personalities in Naivisharanya, requested Sutta Goswami to describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can purify everyone of all material contamination, especially in the age of Kali. There is no other way but to take shelter of the holy name. Then the last verse was Bruhi Jogeshare Krishne Brahmane Dharma Varmani Shankashtam Adhuna Vete Dharma Tam Sharanangata. Please tell us, since Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is the Absolute Truth, Yogeshwara, the master of all mystics, since he has departed, since he left his material nature and went back to the spiritual sky, Krishna, who is the protector of dharma, whose shelter dharma has taken now? Dharma kam sharanam gata. Then it comes to the second chapter. Ugrashava Sutta Goswami, the son of Roma Harshan, being fully satisfied by the perfect question of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. So Sutta Goswami was very pleased to hear the question, because these questions were very relevant. Actually, an intelligent question always inspires a speaker of Bhagavata or a devotee. All spiritual topics, the Vedic literature actually, is a matter of questions and answers. What is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking the questions, Krishna is answering. Then, Srimad Bhagavatam also we are seeing questions and answers. The sages of Naimisharanya, or on behalf of the sages of Naimisharanya, Shaunaka Rishi is asking the questions and Sutta Goswami is answering. Parikshit Maharaj asking the questions, Sukadev Goswami answering. Or sometimes they would describe, like Vidura is asking questions, Maitreya Rishi is answering. In this way, it's a matter of questions and answers. Prachetas are asking questions, Lord Shiva is answering. So it's a matter of question answer. So either we describe the questions and answers asked by others and replied by others, or directly what has been asked to us, we answer those questions. So here we are actually describing how this question-answer sessions went on. The questions and answers is the process of receiving knowledge. So at first Śrīla Gosvāmī offered his respects to his spiritual master. Who is Śrīla Gosvāmī's spiritual master? Yes, Sukadeva Goswami. Śrīla Śrīla Gosvāmī said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the great saint Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, 'O my son, indeed only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father.'" So Vyasadeva was very, very much perturbed that Sukadeva Goswami left home right after his birth. Sukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out of his mother's womb, considering the condition of the material. He felt that it's a very undesirable place to be in. So he didn't want to come here. So he preferred to stay in his mother's womb. For 14 years he stayed there. And then when he came out, he just walked. Left home. And Vyasadeva was concerned that my son is leaving home without being properly educated or properly instructed on the spiritual subject matter and becoming without being properly reformed through the ceremony of upanayan or initiation. But Sukadeva Goswami was a self-realized soul even before his birth. He was completely absorbed in Brahman realization. So Vyasadeva then went after him. When Sukadeva Goswami left home, Vyasadeva was going after him, calling his son to come back. But there was no response from Sukadeva Goswami. The only response came from the tree because of the echo. He was calling, "Oh my son, oh my son." And the trees also echoed, "My son." Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supreme human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. One verse. So then he started to describe, "O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self." Then he comes to the point. What is the point? This is a very important verse. What is the real dharma? What is the real purpose of religion? Sa vaikum sham paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshade ahaituki apratihata yajatma suprashidati. Yajatma suprashidati. Sa vaikum sham paro dharma. Paro dharma, the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Ahaituki, so this devotional service must be ahaituki and apratihata. Should not be motivated by any cause, any motive. Should not be motivated by any material desire. It should be ahaituki. The word ahaituki has been described as causeless. And apratihata is uninterrupted. So this yato bhaktir adhokshade, the bhakti unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Transcendental Lord, should be unmotivated or unconditional and uninterrupted, constantly. We should render this service to the Lord. Then only what happens? Then the heart will become completely satisfied. Then the soul will become completely satisfied. Yayatma, due to which the Atma, the self, will become suprashidati, will become completely satisfied. Next verse also is a very beautiful verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Yanaya Tashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chanjat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Jaya. So Vasudeve Bhagavati, the devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, generates detachment and absolute knowledge immediately. Very quickly. So, knowledge and renunciation, jnana and vairagya, are secondary result of devotional service. One does not have to separately endeavor for renunciation and knowledge. It will automatically become manifest. In that respect, it has been described that devotional service, bhakti, devi, has two sons. Bhakti devi has two sons. Those two sons are jnana and vairagya. So wherever the mother goes, the children automatically follow. So similarly, wherever there is devotion to Krishna, Vasudev, there is jnana and vairagya automatically present. So the point actually is that devotees do not have to separately endeavor for knowledge and renunciation. It will happen automatically. So this verse also is very important, so try to memorize these verses. At some point I would like you to make it a point to memorize the verses, one verse a day. In this way you can very quickly memorize or systematically memorize the Bhagavatam, chapter by chapter. When we were in New Jersey shooting for Abhaycharan, every morning we used to have Bhagavatam class and we used to memorize the verses, one verse a day. So Chiranjeevi is laughing because every morning I made them memorize one verse. How many verses do you remember now? So memorizing and then practicing. We must keep on repeating, otherwise we'll forget. But if we make an effort to memorize one verse a day and then we repeat it, like, do you getting any benefit? Is it helping the recitation of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the morning? One chapter, you're doing it for a week now, one chapter a week. Okay. We started off with one chapter for a fortnight from Ekadasi to Ekadasi. So now it has come down to one chapter a week and they are repeating. Maybe now we can reduce it. Maybe we recite one chapter for 3 days and then we come to one chapter a day and in 18 days we can do 18 chapters. So Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Tasu Vairagyan Gyanam Cha Jag Ahaituham. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Gaur Prima. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitana. Prayojitana means applied. When this bhakti is applied to Vasudeva, it's a very beautiful presentation. When Bhakti Yoga is applied to Vasudeva, then what happens? Janaya Tasu Vairagyam Gyanamcha Jasa. You apply Bhakti Yoga to Vasudeva and you'll immediately have Gyan and Vairagya. Now Gyan and Vairagya is important. One has to become detached. If one remains attached to the material nature, it will be difficult for him to get himself, to free himself from the material bondage. And knowledge is necessary, Gyan is necessary. But it will automatically become manifest. How it happened? How it happened? Just as when the sun comes up, immediately there is light and heat. It was cold, yeah? The mornings are very cold. But as soon as the sun comes up, it becomes warm. Nights are dark. As soon as the sun comes up, light is there. How does it happen? That is the result of the sun rising. Because sun has light and heat. So as soon as the sun comes up, there is light and heat automatically manifest. Or does one have to light up big searchlights, floodlights? No necessary. Sun automatically can give that. We do not have to make any endeavor ourselves to light up. Sun's appearance will make it happen. Similarly, just by applying Bhakti Yoga to Vasudeva, Gyan and Vairagya will automatically become manifest. Dharmasya apavargasya narthartaya upakalpate narthasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya vismita. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. So dharmasya hi apavargasya. Apavarga means liberation, freedom from material. Nartho arthaya upakalpate. All the occupational engagements are meant for ultimate liberation. Okay. This verse also, that one verse before also is very important. Dharma svanushtita punshan vishyakshena kathasuya notpadayat yadi ratim shramayevahi kevanam. Dharma svanushtita dharma, or dharma here, or our understanding of dharma is not actually religion. Dharma is occupational duty. That is the definition of dharma. Dharma is not religion as such. There is only one religion, so there is no need to worry about that. But our occupational duties may change. Occupational duties are can be two stages, can be classified in two categories. The occupational duty for the body, of the body, and the occupational duty of the soul. The occupational duty of the body can change. For example, what is the occupational duty of a cow? Cow's body. What is the functioning or the purpose or activity of the cow's body? Cow's body, what does it do? Give milk. Cows give milk. And the occupational duty of a tiger? To hunt its prey and eat their flesh. So occupational duty of a tiger is to kill. Lion. Occupational duty of a dog is to become man's best friend. So these are the occupational duties changing due to the body, due to the changing of body. The cow that gives milk and nourishes human beings. If the same person, if the same soul next goes to a lion's body, what will he do? He'll eat the same person. Right? The body will change. According to the body, the occupational duty will change. Similarly, when it comes to a human being, when one is a Shudra, what will be his occupational duty? It will be to serve. When he is a Vaishya, what will be his occupational duty? To cater to the demands of the society. When he becomes a Kshatriya, what will be his occupational duty? To give protection to the society. And when one becomes a Brahmana, what is his occupational duty? To impart knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So according to occupation, body is changing, occupational duties change. But
The occupational duty of a soul. What is the occupational duty of the soul? Is to serve Krishna. Now, the occupational duty of a lion soul, a cow soul, a sudra soul, a brahmana soul, is the same. As long as he is in his body consciousness, his occupational duty may differ. But when he becomes situated in his spiritual identity, becomes situated in his soul, then there is only one occupation. So the occupational duty of the soul is one. And what is that? To serve Krishna. Therefore, it is called Nitya Dharma. And the occupational duty of the body is called Naimittika. The body is the Nimittya and the Dharma of the body is Naimittika. Whereas the occupational duty of the soul is constant. Therefore it is Nitya. So here it has been pointed out. Dharma Shanu Shtita Pum Shan Vishyakshena Katha Suya Notpade Yadi Ratim Shrama Evahi Kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the message of the personality of God. Vishyakshena, who is Vishyakshena? Vishyakshena is the personality of Krishna. And then next one, all occupational engagements are certain means for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Should we perform dharma or occupational duty for material gain? Especially the spiritual activity should not be motivated by material gain. It should be performed only for the sake of ultimate liberation. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveso jalata jivasya tatta yukyasa nartho jasheha karmati. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So in this way, who is instructing? Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisha upon their question. The next verse is very important. Try to memorize this verse also. Badanti tattakta vidastattvam jajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shakti. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call the non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma. Although the substance is non-dual, it is identified by three names: Brahma, Paramatma, Brahma. That will be explained in Srimad Bhagavatam gradually. The thing is, the jnanis recognize that absolute truth, non-dual absolute truth, as Brahma. The yogis realize that same absolute truth as Paramatma.
Supreme Lord. And devotees recognize him as Bhagavan. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from Vedanta Shruti. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste division and orders of life is to please the Supreme Personality of God. So what is the purpose of varna and ashram dharma? So body dharma is varnashram dharma. For human beings, especially for civilized human beings, the body's dharma is varnashram dharma. According to the body, human society has been divided into four categories. Those four categories are Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and the human lives have been divided into four stages. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. So these are four varnas and four ashram, and they are known as varnashram. So here it has been pointed out that the purpose of varnashram dharma should be only to haritoshanam, satisfying or pleasing Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atopumbhir jasreshtha varnashrama vibhagasya. Varna and ashrama vibhag. Divisions of varnas and ashram, shanushtikasya dharmasya, swa anushtikasya dharmasya. The purpose of this practicing this dharma is samsiddhir haritoshanam. The highest perfection, samsiddhi, is to please Sri Hari. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotee. What should a devotee do? With one-pointed attention, with his consciousness fixed completely, should tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan satyatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dheya pujyascha nittada. So these are the four things. Shrotavya means must be heard about. One must hear and kirtitavyascha, glorify. Hear, glorify, dheya, meditate upon, and pujyascha, worship. Nittada, all the time. Therefore, tasmad means therefore. Tasmad ekena manasa. Ekena eka means one, and ekena means by one, manasa, by the mind completely pointed into one point, one object, and what should he do? Shrotavya kirtitavyascha dheya, and Pujyasya Mitrada. To whom? Bhagavan. And who is Bhagavan? Sattatam Pati. The Lord of the Sattvatas. The protector of his devotees. So this is the balancing factor. The devotee completely surrenders himself in serving the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He protects his devotees. It is not that the devotees have to serve and then all the time worry. Oh, what will happen to me? What will happen to my family? Where the money will come from? Where? No. What devotee doesn't have to worry about that. Devotee should only serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the protector of his devotees, he will always take care of them. Therefore, a devotee doesn't have to worry about them. But then the consideration is sometimes one may say, well, I am serving, but at the same time, I have to take care. Yes, if you are serving 25%, then Krishna will give you 25% protection. If you are serving 50%, Krishna will give you 50% protection. But if you are serving 100%, then what will be Krishna's protection, degree of Krishna's protection? 100%. You surrender yourself completely to Krishna, Krishna will take you. But if you are thinking, well, I will keep something for myself and give something else to Krishna, then Krishna will say, okay. So I will also get into the same shareholding arrangement. You give 50%, I give 50% protection. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary world, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to this message? I'll just quickly go through. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Jaya Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Jaya Shri Shri Radha Madan Lalita, Jaya Shri Shri Gauri Kai. So now it has been described, the service to the devotees is very important. Now, Shrotabhya Kirtitabhyascha Dheya Pujyascha Nistada. But then also that these will be possible only when we surrender unto a devotee of the Lord. Then these verses, next few verses are very important. Shrinnatam sa kathak Krishna, punna shravana kirtana, riddhanta svabhudrani, vidhunati suhitsatam, nashta praishu abhadreshu, nittam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttamashloke, bhagavati bhagavati nashtati, tadarajastamo bhava. Anyway, these verses are very beautiful verses, and so I'll just read the translation. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the eyes to hear this message, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Riddhanta Savadrani Bidhunoti Surit Satam. Surit Satam, when one takes to devotional service, then very quickly the Supreme Personality of Godhead purifies all the impurities from his heart. By regular attendance in classes, on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with the devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the servant as master. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness and ignorance, and just for the material world's creation, maintenance and destruction. He accepts the three qualitative form of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Saptam rajas tamo iti prakrite gunastai yukta parah purusha eva ihaso dhatte sittadaye hari virinshai hareti samyam shreyam sitatra khalu saptatamo nrinamshu. Firewood is transformed into earth. The firewood is a transformation of earth. But smoke is better than the raw wood, and fire is still better. For by fire one can derive the benefit of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifice. Similarly, passion is better than ignorance, but goodness is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Of the three modes, ignorance, passion and goodness, passion is better than ignorance, but goodness is the best. Why? Because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Only through the mode of goodness one can realize the absolute truth. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material condition and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portion. So those who are desirous of liberation, they are certainly non-envious. Why people become envious? they become envious because they, when they see that somebody has something that he needs or he wants to have, then he becomes envious. But a person who doesn't have any desire for the material thing, can he become envious? No. So, those who are desirous, those who want to become free from material bondage, they're naturally non-envious because they have nothing to gain in this material nature. So why should they be envious? An example can be given that if some children think that sand they play with is very valuable. Children may think that, you know, because they are building a castle made of sand. You do that when you are young? You make a house made of sand? You know? So when the children play with sand, to them sand is very valuable, isn't it? They may say, why you have so much sand? Give me some. He said, no, I can't give it to you. And they start fighting. I'll never speak to you. You never even give me some sand. But when the children grow up, they lose interest for the sand. Then does it have any value? Will they ever fight for sand? No. Similarly, a person who has lost interest for material things, he will not fight for any material possession. It's okay, I mean, if you want, take it. You want some sand? Okay. You want some more? Take some more. Right? So this is how he becomes free from envy. Because he doesn't have any desire for possession. But although the materialistic, although these people, desirous of material, freedom from material bondage, they are non-envious, but they are not interested in worshipping the demigods. Why? Because the result of worshipping the demigods, the purpose of worshipping demigods is to get material benefit. So since they don't need any material benefit, they don't feel the need to worship the demigods. Those who are in the mode of the passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activity, for they are urged by the desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power and progeny. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. He is supreme knowledge and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him. He is the supreme goal of life. So what is the ultimate dharma? Surrender loving devotional service unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of God in Vasudeva, in His transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by His own internal energy. So in the beginning of creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudev, in His transcendental position, created the energy of cause and effect by His own internal energy. So what is that cause and effect? That cause and effect is karmic creation, karma. As you act, accordingly there will be the reaction.
After creating the material substance, the Lord, Vasudev, expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. Although he may appear to be one of the created beings, but he is always transcendental. The Lord as Supersoul pervades all things just as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the Absolute One without a second. The Supersoul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of these modes by the subtle mind. Thus the Lord of the universe maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Divinity and Divine Service. So yesterday I mentioned that on your own also you read this chapter. I'm just reading them out during the class, the full chapter. But on your own also you read, then you will be able to grasp it without difficulty. Always make an endeavor to study the scriptures and understand them. Always remember why you joined the ashram, why you joined Islam. How many of you are aware of the purpose of joining Islam? Please raise your hand. Okay. Nitai Chandra. Okay, what is the purpose of joining? To render devotional service. Couldn't you do it staying at home? Not that we are asking you to go home. Why move into the temple? So that you can fully engage yourself. Because when you stay home, at home, then there are so many distractions. Right? There are so many other entanglements, so many other responsibilities may be there. But when you are in the temple, it's uninterrupted. You can be 24 hours engaged, isn't it? Chaitanya, what do you think? Say, now that you are staying in the temple for a few days, how does it feel? Or whenever you go to a temple from home? Yeah, the association of devotees help. And besides that, you have all the time to render devotion. What about here? Huh? Full time. Now there is no hassle. You don't have to go to work. Rush in the morning. Rather, you can completely dedicate yourself. Raghav Pandit? Thank you very much. And Bimal Krishna, do you want to add something to that? Like I am asking the devotees who actually left home, left their job, left their service, left, and they are in the temple. Bimal Krishna was very much engaged in London in his job, but now he is
attempt to listen here, fully engaged. Does it feel better? Okay. Yeah, why is it better? You're working harder. There you're working only for 8 hours. Now you're working for at least 16 hours. Yeah, right. Bhagavan Krishna is saying that when he was working at every hour or even less an interval, is to look at his watch. That when the time, when it will be 5 o'clock, right? Pradeep, you are running your own business. How? What about you? You didn't have to look at your watch. Rather, you stayed longer. You stayed more money. Earlier you were feeling like?
Like a street dog.
Oh, okay. No, you always had a shelter. You have been a devotee for a long time. Otherwise, to make such a move wouldn't have been easy. To give everything behind, moving to the temple. Very good. Hare Krishna. Yes.
But I have one question. In the verse, Master Precious and Precious, it says that the contamination is almost completely destroyed.
Yeah. So, this has been described actually, it is almost purified, not fully. Because this Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya can take us only to the point of certain, maybe at the most to the point of Bhava. But that is, our endeavor can take us only to certain. But the ultimate thing will come in the form of the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Krishna. That we cannot force ourselves. So almost all, it will be, all the contamination will almost be purified, but not completely purified, unless and unless until we receive the mercy.
Progression, but just say three types. Whereas Prabhupada explains it as a progression. So, how did that
work? Okay. Very good point. That reminds me, once when I was with Srila Prabhupada in Rishikesh, in the evenings Prabhupada used to give darshan. From 5 to 6. And then everybody was asked to leave. But if somebody was interested, then we continued to speak to them. And so one day there was a nice sannyasi, quite young. He was not very old, he was quite young, and so I started to speak to him after Prabhupada's darshan. I was sitting and he was actually a Mayavadi. Most of the sadhus in India are actually Mayavadi. So he was insisting that the Brahman realization is the ultimate. And so I quoted this verse. And I told him that that is the first stage of spiritual realization. And I pointed out that it is like when we want to know the absolute truth, then we try to understand the absolute truth by dint of our own endeavor. And the process is questioning, is this the absolute truth? No. Neti, neti. And through this process of neti, neti, one, if one comes to the ultimate and penetrates through the covering of maya, then he sees the Brahman truth. So through the process of jnana, the thing is Brahman, realization is Brahman. But when one sees the Brahma Jyoti, his condition is like, say, a man who has been in a dark room for a long, long time, and all of a sudden he is exposed to the midday sun. What will happen? He'll become blind. So when one, all of a sudden, perceives the Brahma Jyoti being in the darkness of the material nature, he becomes blinded. So it is a kind of coming to a dead end. There's nothing to go beyond. Is this the absolute truth? Coming to find this absolute truth, I become blind. I wanted to see the absolute truth, but I became blind. So then, recognizing that this is the dead end, he then changes his course and goes to the opposite direction. By the external endeavor, we came to this dead end of Brahman realization. So then when he withdraws himself internally, and that process will grow up. And when he achieves the perfection of his yoga practice, then he sees the super soul in the heart, the Paramatma. But in the light of the Paramatma, he sees himself as a Jivatma. He sees Paramatma, the great supreme Atma, and he is a minute Atma. So when someone who is small comes across someone great, what happens? He naturally surrenders. So that surrender is actually the beginning of devotion. When one surrenders to the Lord, then he begins to render devotional service unto him. So, after this Paramatma realization, one becomes engaged in devotional service, and as a result of that, when he achieves perfection, by receiving the mercy of the Lord, then he sees him as Bhagavan. So this is the successive, right? Gradual development. And I was recalling this incident in Rishikesh. Then I don't know how much was convinced, but I was screaming and shouting. Not screaming and shouting that way, but I was so excitedly explaining to him that my voice became quite loud. So I afterwards I went downstairs, and then Upendra Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's servant, he came and told me that Prabhupada was calling me. And when I heard that Prabhupada was calling me, then it occurred to me that it was practically just next to Prabhupada's room. I was screaming and shouting like that. So, and I thought, now Prabhupada is going to blast me. For I was quite apprehensive that because I was not very pleasant to that person. Like sometimes when you become excited, you become heavy. So I was thinking that Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada, I went to Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada asked me, "So what were you doing?" I said, "Prabhupada, I was preaching." Then Prabhupada said, "Oh, what were you preaching?" So then I repeated what I said. When I said that, Prabhupada was silent for quite some time. He didn't say anything. He was silent. And so I asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, did I say anything wrong?" And Prabhupada said, "No. You spoke very nicely. You preached very nicely." I was only a few months in the movement at that time. And Prabhupada used to be very appreciative when he saw that we were preaching on the basis of scripture. That's why it's important that we study the scriptures carefully, memorize the verses. Then our presentation will be perfect. Because if you preach on the basis of the scripture, on the basis of the verses of the scriptures, then you cannot go wrong. Therefore, the system is that whenever we say something, it must be on the basis of the scriptural evidence. Like the other day, I was giving a class in Mayapur. In the evening, devotees came to see me in my room and I was giving, just as we do kirtan and then give a class. Jayadutta Maharaj was there and a few other devotees also were there. And I was explaining how two different functions, one is the function of the body and the other is the function of the soul. The center of the function of the body is the mind, or mind, intelligence and all these, the subtle body. The center of the gross body is the subtle body, or the mind. And the seat of the mind is the head. And the seat of the soul is the heart. The soul is in the heart. The seat of the mind is the head. And afterwards, Jayadutta Maharaj and I were sitting, and one devotee came and he asked me, like, what is the basis of this statement that the seat of the mind is the brain, is the brain center? And for a moment I was stuck. I couldn't remember that I did speak and I spoke quite elaborately on that topic. And and I was giving him the basic understanding that it is such a common understanding that, like, don't we say if somebody is intelligent, we say that he is very he has a good head, good brain. So mind and intelligence is synonymous to the brain, whereas when it is a heart, soul, he has a good heart. So, or the activities of the soul is presented to the heart, but the activities of the mind is presented to the head. But fortunately, I mean, I was giving like such a common understanding that the seat of the mind is the head. But then I just got one example. Long back I read in the Upanishads It just by Krishna's mercy that thing came into my mind. That this was a discussion taking place between Jagavalka and Gargi or Maitreya. Gargi, yeah. Jagavalka and Gargi. Gargi was asking questions and Jagavalka was answering. So they were questioning and question answer was going on. So she was asking, what is the basis of, say for example, I don't know the detail, so what is the basis of creation? The basis of creation is the element. What is the basis of, what are the elements? Earth, water, fire, etc. What is the basis of earth, water? What is the basis of water, fire, and going on? And then she ultimately came to Brahma. And Jagavalka said that the basis of that is Brahma. Like for example, what is the basis of the Mahatattva from which the whole manifestation took place? And he says the basis of Mahatattva is Brahma. And then immediately he says, Gargi, don't ask any more questions. Because if you do, then your head will fall off. And naturally, the question is, yes, sincerely she is asking questions. Why should her head fall off? But then, the answer to that is, that up to Brahman, you can go only with your mind and intellect. Beyond that you cannot go with your intellect. Up to Brahman you can go with your intellect. Therefore, the thing is that if you want to go on beyond that, then you have to give up your head, activities of your head, and you have to go through your heart, devotional process. And so this was a scriptural evidence that the seat of the mind is the head. Of the mind and intelligence. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande Hari. So, is it better inside or outside? The class? In the morning I was thinking that today there was some fog and it was a little chilly outside, so the sun rays didn't have been that powerful. Okay, tomorrow we will see. And also, it is so close to the road. I was thinking that if we go for a class in the morning, then outside, better inside. Okay, Chiranjeev has given his verdict. Gaur Premanande Hari Srila Prabhupada Ki.